And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Boy, I'll tell you what. Thank you, Stan Dale, by the way, for what a great hour. Now, we got a mighty treat for you. Jonathan Cahn. In fact, one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite people. Jonathan Cahn, he caused a national stir, if you may recall, with the release of the New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger, and The Mystery of the Shemitah, and of course, The Book of Mysteries. Now, he's addressed members of Congress. If you've watched him on YouTube, I mean, the energy that he exhibited, my goodness, it was unbelievable how he engaged the various people there. And he's spoken at the United Nations. And was named along with Billy Graham and of course Karen Green as one of the top 40 spiritual leaders over the last 40 years who radically changed the world. And I can tell you, he not only changed the world, but he changed our world here at the Hagman Studio, my world personally, through his writings. And I don't want to seem like I'm overstating this or causing a lot of false flattery. Not at all. But when you read his works from The Harbinger to The Mystery of the Shemitah, now to his new book, The Paradigm, right here. ThePARADIGMMYSTERY.com is where you can get it, as well as on Amazon. This book really is an incredible work to top off his previous works. Jonathan Cahn is known as the prophetic voice in this generation for the opening of the deep mysteries of God. And I believe that reading this and reading his other works, Mr. Cahn leads Hope of the World, bringing God's word to the nations and to help the world's most needy, and the Jerusalem Center in Wayne, New Jersey. I've got to stop by and buy him a cup of coffee when I'm there. His ministry can be contacted at hopeoftheworld.org, and of course, Jonathan, and Jonathan Cahn. So, Rabbi Cahn, thank you so much for agreeing to join us today.
Oh, and it's always my blessing to be with you guys. I love your work. I love what you're doing. And, you know, I'm of one spirit with you, but always a joy.
Well, it's our pleasure. And we were talking before the show. We both, Joe and I both read The Paradigm. And in fact, we had spread this among the book among our staff here. And we agree that it's one of the most engaging books that you've written, I believe. And we're so honored to have you again, New York Times bestselling author and such. But, now, The Paradigm is your most explosive book yet. Could you tell us what The Paradigm, is, and could you set the stage for us?
Yeah, and since we have a little time, let me just share something I wouldn't probably share on most places. But this is, you know, every time a book comes out, every time, from The Harbinger on, every time I've done it, there's always intense warfare every single time, and there's always an attack that comes usually on the day of the release. And with The Harbinger, it was a hurricane that swept through our building, and with 4 feet of water, we had no place for 2 months after that. With The Mystery of the Shemitah, on that day, actually the stroke of midnight of the release day, I'm rushed to the hospital, paralyzed with some strange illness, and in the hospital for the week of the release. The Paradigm released just last week, you know, on September 19th. And so I was ready. I mean, I told people to pray and I, you know, all that. And on the day, I wake up with severe pains. I'm rushed to the emergency room. My appendix was ruptures. And so I'm rushed into surgery on the day of the release. I've never been in surgery in my life. On the day of the release of The Paradigm, and spent the whole week of the release, I had to cancel interviews all over, in the hospital. I just got out yesterday. Yesterday was my first day. So this is actually my first interview since the book released because of that.
Wow.
So and I mean, and I take it as a good sign. I mean, it's always, I'm encouraged, because when the enemy goes crazy, that's a good sign that God is doing something. God is going to do something. So I'm always expecting that, but absolute. So you know, I'm blessed that this is with you guys right now. So let me tell you that for those who don't know, The Paradigm, if I would say it this way, the paradigm is, imagine if they discovered a master blueprint behind everything that's happening now, and from a blueprint from ancient times, from the Bible, that reveals what has happened, what is happening, what is to happen, not just the events of our time, and not just in a general, you know, people talking generally about prophecy, but specific. I mean, so specific that it not only gives the events, but the timing, when they are to happen. It will give the years of the events, or when they're to take place. In some cases, the month, the week, the hour. I mean, the dates of some of the most the most pivotal events of our lives, all according to this ancient paradigm. And what if it revealed the outcome of elections before they happen? What if it revealed that behind the leaders of our day, there each one has an ancient leader that is their prototype, that they are following, that they are, in a sense, bound by, that their time on the national stage is being determined by. In fact, what if the paradigm gives the time that they're allotted to remain on the stage and when their time ends? So what if everything we're dealing with is a replaying, in one sense, of a mystery that God has in this master blueprint? And what if we can open it up? Could it contain a warning that we need to know? If the thing is, I mean, the ultimate thing is that if we had known, if I had known, and I didn't, and this all came to me, you know, January and February. But if I had known the harbinger, if we had known the harbinger, actually, we knew the harbinger, if we had known the paradigm, and by the way, the paradigm is linked to the harbinger. It's almost like the other dimension. They both come from the same template, but it's like the other dimension of the harbinger. And that is that if we had known the paradigm, this blueprint, then we could have, years ago, we could have marked in your calendar when, exactly when these world events would occur, down to the date, in some cases down to the hour. That's how eerie it is, or stunning God is. That, because he has everything in control. But that's a quick kind of introduction to what is the paradigm. Paradigm is the master blueprint of what's happening now. And, you know, I'll put it in these terms. If you read when Paul writes in Corinthians, he says that these things, and he's talking about what happened to Israel, he's particularly talking about the falling away of Israel. He says these things happened as examples to us. And a lot of people know that scripture. But in the Greek, it says these things happen as to be not examples, but tupos, or types, or paradigms. So what it's saying is the fall of ancient Israel is a paradigm for us. And the thing is, it's not just a general thing. It's incredibly, amazingly specific that behind all these things that have happened in the times of our lives has been this master blueprint.
That's incredible. And I like the way you frame that, by the way. Going back to the beginning of your statement about the paradigm being the blueprint, or related to the harbinger in the way it is. And I got that as I was reading the paradigm and the specificity with
yes.
respect it amazed me. And forgive me for even saying this, but you know, you've got people, detractors who say, well, the harbinger, for example, think the certain things never happened or they didn't have, but when you read the paradigm, it's a dot connector, isn't it? I mean, it's.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, with the harbinger, the harbinger is a warning, and what has happened and where we are heading as a nation, and we have not stopped, you know. So, you know, if people want judgment early, you know, that I don't think we should be praying for that. But we are, you know, America has been racing, you know, from the time of the harbinger, from the time of 9/11, we've been continually heading, the harbingers have not stopped. This is, you know, things have headed continuously in the same exact path as ancient Israel did, which was, you know, driving God out, even from where we are from 9/11 to where we are now. I mean, that is gigantic. So, yeah, but, you know, we need to be praying for revival. We'll get to that. But the point is, so, yes, and what you just said is absolutely correct. It is linked to the harbinger, and, yeah, it takes you right up to, I mean, as you know, because you read it, it takes us right up to where we are exactly right now, you know.
Exactly.
And,
yep.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the harbinger is showing the signs that were the warnings that were given to ancient Israel as it was falling away from God and as the warnings of judgment. the paradigm is showing that everything else, it wasn't just the signs, that these signs have now appeared in America, and they have with specificity, as you said, but it's that everything else is part of the same thing, that our news events is part of this, our leaders are part of this, the events of our times are all part of this. It's kind of like we're, in a sense, you want to connect it, it's like we're living inside our entire times, our age is a harbinger, linking us up to that same time, which is the fall of ancient Israel and the fall of a nation and the warning of judgment. So it all, as you're bringing up, it all connects and it all converges together. And so, but you know, when I wrote The Harbinger, I didn't know anything about this. But the other thing is that what's similar also with the Harbinger, they both take, and the paradigm is they both, the template, both it come from the northern kingdom of ancient Israel in the fall of that nation, but, and now it's linked to what's happening in America. And both these things converge in America, so that's kind of ominous. The other thing is that both with the Harbinger and the paradigm, people, what was happening is that believers were often saying, you know what, yeah, I always had a sense that that thing was that, or that person was that. I always had a sense of that, you know, or I got a glimpse of that. But, or I always had a sense that 9/11 was a wake up, you know. But it's not just a sense. What the paradigm is saying is it is an intricate, revelation of God, prophetic revelation of where we are, where we have been, and where we're going.
Exactly. And I have to mention this as well, because my wife and I were both reading The Paradigm, and I just want to share this with our audience. We both, at the same time, swapping the book back and forth, we both almost at the same time in the same places say, asking one another for hey, can you get, hand me The Harbinger, you know, during our reads together. So it was kind of fun, but you're right on the money. And again, I didn't want to go back too far, but nonetheless, I thought that was important. And
oh yeah.
For those people joining us, Jonathan Kahn is our guest. And of course, folks, you know Jonathan Kahn, Mystery of the Shemitah, The Book of Mysteries, and of course, The Harbinger, now The Paradigm, which, and by the way, what exactly is a paradigm? And just to reiterate this, it's defined as a pattern, a model, a template, a prototype, an exemplar. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've got that definition established. And, would you say this, because, now this is unscripted, of course, there's kind of nothing new under the sun. Everything we're seeing today has been, it's blueprinted out for us, and we've seen it before.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because, yeah, there are people coming, you said, you know, when you're doing this, you know, I got the scripture, there's nothing new under the sun, meaning what has been is, and yeah, because there are cycles, and because human nature is human nature, but God is God, and, you know, God also, you know, he weaves everything together, he weaves every event together, and he knows the end from the beginning, and he knew, you know, what was going to happen now, obviously, you know, thousands of years ago, now we say, well, yeah, you know, that theologically that's true, but when you really get the gist of that, I mean, he knew that all there, so he put all sorts of things in his word and that are going to speak to us, and he's going to use his word, because the paradigm is obviously it is from the word of God. He's going to use it to speak to us, just as with the harbinger, to get a message very clear that it's not just you know, it's not interpretation, it's not, you know, okay, what does this mean, the weather went this way or that way, this could mean this or this. It's linked to the word of God, so it's giving a very clear message, you can't miss it, you know. And you know, God also uses paradigms throughout the Bible. You know, as you said, they're symbols, they're archetypes, they're patterns. You know, the pattern of the temple, the pattern of the tabernacle that Moses saw. You know, the pattern of the heavenlies. You know, the prophetic symbolism or harbingers or paradigms where Jeremiah, he takes a vessel and smashes it, and it's a paradigm of Jerusalem's fall. Well, that's throughout the entire Bible. So God uses it, but this is a paradigm of an entire civilization and things that we've been living, all of us, you know, in one form or another. It's been, these events have been affecting our lives, and a lot of times we're saying, okay, what are you doing, God? What is this? Well, this is what the paradigm is revealing. It's this. This is what you've been living. This is what you've been witnessing. This is what's been affecting your life, your entire, this, and you know, it also says, and I know you know, it says, you know, in, you know, know, it says that the sons of Issachar knew the times. You know, we are to know the times, and that's what this is revealing. You use that scripture from from Ecclesiastes. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Interesting. I was doing an interview before the release. You know, which was with Coast to Coast, which has all sorts of stuff on it. But as they're doing it, you know, as they come back, the music that they chose was the birds that sing to everything. Turn. There is a time to do this. There is a time to. That's taken from that exact verse. So now I'm sure that Coast to Coast, they had no idea what they were doing, but I know. But God did. The way of God saying, "I'm in control of everything."
Absolutely amazing, and most assuredly he does. Jonathan Cohn, of course, our guest, and folks, you can buy the book on Amazon. Just released, less than a week ago, September 19th.
That's it.
You can watch the trailer at theparadigmmystery.com and Amazon as well. To purchase the book, fantastic book. And Rabbi Cohn, out of deference and a continuation of thought, we'll skip to the bottom of the hour break if you're up for that. Okay.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Great.
All right. And I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for allowing us to do that. We're going to skip the bottom of the hour break just for continuity, the sake of continuity. But the paradigm itself, and then we kind of touched on the periphery of this. It speaks of an ancient scandal.
Yeah.
What? You know,
well,
what?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, let's we can set the stage. I'm sure you want to do that.
Sure.
Yeah. The overall picture, or the big macro picture of the paradigm, and that's before we'll get totally specific. And also, by the way, I'm blessed with not only what you do, but also we're able here to get into some details because of the time, which is awesome. So I'll get very specific as well. The big picture is that of the fall of a civilization, the fall of ancient Israel that had known God, been established by God, but they turned away. They began driving God out of their lives. They began driving God out of their public square. They began turning to other gods and idols, particularly the god who's called Baal or Baal. And in the worship of Baal, they begin degrading themselves into sexual immorality. They had temple prostitutes, publicly demonstrating these things. They had the images of the goddesses. These are basically naked images or erotic images. Their culture became sexualized, eroticized. They begin offering up their children on the altar of Baal. Now that's the overall picture. Now we'll get very specific, but that's the overall picture of the fall of this civilization. Well, what are we now? Where are we now? Israel, you know, there's two nations, two civilizations in the world that were founded on the word of God, or the purpose of God solely, and that is Israel, and the other is America. In the Puritans, it was totally founded, dedicated to God, and was dedicated after the pattern of Israel. And by the way, the paradigm, it has to do with the whole world and the West, because you have this foundation throughout the entire Western culture. You have the gospel, you have all this, but now you have this apostasy, in America, but it's particularly because America had that link to Israel. And, one of the Puritans, John Winthrop, said that we shall be a city on a hill if we follow God. We'll be the most blessed people. Well, people know that, city on the hill, but they skip the next verse of what he said. He said, but if we turn away from God, then just as God blessed us as he blessed Israel, God will judge us. The judgments that came on Israel will come upon us. And that's where all this begins to kick in. And so what happens with America and the West is what happened to Israel. That America begins turning away from God, as does the West, begins driving him out of the public square, begins calling evil good and good evil, begins to take in other, they will never say that we're worshiping other gods, but we do. And, when a nation turns away from God, it turns to Baal in some form. And so what that means is there's going to be a sexual revolution of immorality. Well, that we're witnessing that too. In ancient Israel, there were images of naked goddesses all around. Well, we also have a sexualized culture. In the same way, they begin to offer up their children on the altars. Well, we have not offered up thousands of children. We have offered up millions of children. And so we are following this one step. And by the way, also part of this is kind of the overall picture of the paradigm. is when Israel was descending into Baal worship, it also not only went into sexual sin, but also went into sexual confusion, the confusing of gender. That was also part of the worship of Baal. So that we're following everything. And so that's the, we have the big picture. But now we're going to get incredibly specific. And that is that what happens is that in Israel's fall, it enters this period where it accelerates, it deepens, where the anti-biblical morality starts taking over the biblical morality, where what was done in the closet comes out into the mainstream, where things that were taboo now become, they're advocated from the throne itself. You have leaders that rise up that are going to actually advocate against God, and they're going to, from the throne, they're going to advocate for Baal. Well, this is going to now get extremely specific, and I want to say something, because we're going to name names. But as we do that, it's not about the people. You know, we have no enemies. We're to love all people and pray for all people. But what it's saying is that these modern people, not that they know what they're doing, they are walking in these templates, in these paradigms. And so the first thing that happens is a king rises up. In Hebrew, his name is Ahav. And it's in the book, it's the chapter called The King. And we know him as Ahab. And he begins a culture war. He begins from the throne, the first king to advocate for Baal. First king from the throne. That means to advocate for child sacrifice. First king to advocate for sexual immorality. All those things are happening. And he's actually a divided man. I mean, Ahab knows of God, and he divides. He's going back and forth. He's compromised. He's an apostate. He wavers back and forth. He's a man of a weak will, and also he's a man of scandal. He's an apostasy and scandal. So, could there be a modern leader? Could it be a period in America and a modern leader that begins it? Well, we do have a period that accelerated, and we even called it a culture war. That was the beginning. It began after the Reagan years, and since then, things have been accelerating. Early 90s, the culture war begins in America. And at the same time, a man rises up, and his name, of course, is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton will follow the paradigm of Ahab. He will know of God, came from the Bible Belt, but he'll be a divided man. He'll be wavering. He'll go against the values he even knew about. He'll be the first president to champion values that no president had ever championed before. And that will actually lead us to where we are now. He will champion the sacrifice of children. First president to champion abortion. That's linked to Baal. He will be the first president to champion certain sexual immorality that had never been before. He will be divided, compromised. He will be known for being weak-willed in many ways and pioneering these things, and also that he will be, just as Ahab was, he will be a man of scandal. Now, at the same time, Ahab was not alone. There was a queen with him. And it was the first time in the history of Israel that it wasn't just a king. It was a king and queen who were almost equally ruling. And the queen was called Isabel in Hebrew. We know her as Jezebel. She comes from Phoenicia. She's a princess. She's the daughter of the priest of Astarte. So she's steeped into paganism. She grows up worshiping female power, which is the goddess Astarte. And she comes from a very cosmopolitan culture, and she joins her husband, she marries Ahab, moves to Israel, which is a conservative land, and she always sees traditional values as obstacles and against an agenda that she has. And she influences the king, and she's really inciting the king, and she becomes the chief champion in the land of Baal worship, which means she becomes the chief champion of child sacrifice. And she has her own court in the palace, so it's a co-regency. And she's depicted by personality. She's the harder personality. She's distrusted by many, and yet together they set in motion this acceleration of the nation's fall. Now, what happens with Bill Clinton? He doesn't reign alone. There is another, and of course, her name is Hillary Clinton. It's not about her, but she will follow the paradigm of Jezebel, meaning this, and it's not about her motives, it's not about her morality in her own personal life. What it means is this. She, number one, she will grow up worshiping female power, radical feminist. She will co-reign with her husband. They even called it the co-presidency. She will really incite her husband to an agenda. She will also have her own place in the palace, only first lady who had an office in the West Wing, had her own court, had her own staff. She will be as Jezebel was the chief champion of child sacrifice, Hillary Clinton will become the chief champion in America of abortion. That, above all issues, is abortion. Like Jezebel, she'll be distrusted in many ways. Together, they will set in motion these things that are affecting us to this day. Now, it's not just that. That's just a setup. Not just that. There's a chapter called The Days of the King. And how long was Bill Clinton on the national stage? Well, he came on the national stage in 1979 when he was elected governor of Arkansas. He went right from governor of Arkansas to president of the United States. And Hillary Clinton went right from first lady to first lady of America. And so how long did he have on the national stage? Well, he went all the way until the end of his presidency in January 2001. You take it 1979, January, to January 2001, you end up with 22 years. There are 22 years of Bill Clinton. Open up the book of Kings, 1 Kings 16:29. It says this: Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria for a period of 22 years. Bill Clinton follows the paradigm of Ahab down to the years. His years are determined by the years of Ahab, and so the policies, and so the nature, and the other thing is, I mean, I won't get into, you know, all the details of this one, but there's a chapter called The Goddess, and I'll say this: in the ancient paradigm, the Jezebel, the first lady, brings priests of the goddesses into the palace, and they minister whatever they do. We know what they do. They actually are engaged with consulting with the dead and also conjuring and all sorts of things. Well, could that possibly happen in America? Well, what that chapter reveals is it did happen in America. The First Lady did bring a high priest of the goddesses into the White House, and they had sessions in the White House doing exactly what the priests of Jezebel did, which was dealing with consulting with the dead and much more, and it even involved, there's even a link to the very goddess that Jezebel worshipped. So, I mean, it would seem crazy that could happen, but according to the paradigm, it actually happened. And this is where we are right now, is leading up to what you alluded to, which is the scandal.
You know, Rabbi Kahn, and folks, Rabbi Kahn is our guest, Jonathan Kahn, a best-selling New York Times best-selling author, Mystery of the Shemitah, and many other books. View the trailer at theparadigmmystery.com. Of course, you can purchase the book there, Amazon, but definitely grab a hold of this book. And we are so thankful, by the way, Joe and I, that Mr. Kahn has joined us after, as he mentioned, a stint of hospitalization, unexpected. So we're so grateful that he's with us. But I've got to tell you that what we're talking about here, and just to preface this again, is a blueprint dating back almost 3,000 years, and it's incredible in its specificity. I was just absolutely blown away by what Mr. Kahn has written, and to see it, the words, everything just jumped off the pages. And I know that you will be blessed by this book. Go ahead, Mr. Kahn. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
yeah,
I just want to reinforce.
Man, yeah, no, I want to give you that. Yeah. No, and so where it leads now is to a vineyard, and this is an ancient scandal that Ahab and Jezebel wasn't just about apostasy; it was also a time of scandal. Their reign was known for scandal. Well, of course, the Clinton years were, of course, known for scandal. The scandal involves a, and the chapter is called The Vineyard, involves this vineyard that they try to, that they take from a man named Naboth, and they actually kill him on false charges, and then try to take it, and when Ahab tries to take it, he finds someone waiting for him in the vineyard, and that is the prophet Elijah, who exposes the scandal, and then prophesies his judgment, and the judgment of the house of Ahab and Jezebel, everything else. So it's a very key moment. Now, an amazing thing is, I mean, there's so much to this. I mean, not only was the Clinton years linked to scandal, but more than one. But this paradigm, it's going to amazingly put these things together. First of all, you know, here we have a scandal that has to do with a piece of land that it was acquired not legally by the king and queen. And interesting, because the longest scandal of the Clinton years was the Whitewater scandal, of course. What was that about? It was about a piece of land that was, and the charges were that it was acquired not legally. And this is not to impugn guilt, but the fact is even the appearance follows these things. There was a man who, you know, in the ancient scandal, who died, Naboth. And an innocent man. And so there was also a man who died that was linked to that scandal, who was Vince Foster. And there was a lot of speculation, I'm not getting into that, but interesting thing, the man who died in the paradigm, Naboth, his name means fruits, and a vineyard, he's linked to the vineyard. The vineyard is what? It's a place of fruits. That's where you grow fruits. Well, so his name links to this land of scandal. Well, Vince Foster, you know, actually Whitewater was not a vineyard land, it was forest land. Vince Foster was linked to that land, he was the legal keeper of that land, just like Naboth was the keeper of the vineyard, and Foster means keeper of the forest, just in the same way. So you have all these eerie things, but it's going to get bigger, because all the scandals in the Clinton years, they erupt into the final, the big one, which is the Lewinsky scandal. And in that, that's going to mark his presidency. It's going to actually cause him to be impeached as a president, the Lewinsky scandal. Well, an interesting thing, because the fall of Ahab is linked to the tribe of Levi, and in several ways. One, he breaks the Levitical law when he tries to take that land, the Levitical law of inheritance. But also, he ends up, his reign comes to an end in the city called Ramoth Gilead, which is the city of the Levi. So from the beginning to the end, the scandal to the end, it's all linked to the tribe of Levi. Could there be a link? That's what the paradigm says. Could there actually be a link, therefore, in the modern day Ahab, with the scandal, with the fall, to the tribe of Levi? Well, from the name Levi comes the name Levin. From Levin comes the name Lewin. From Lewin comes the name Lewinsky, as in Monica Lewinsky, as in the Lewinsky scandal. The entire scandal is named after the tribe of Levi. The fall of Clinton is linked to the tribe that was linked to the fall of Ahab, Levi. In fact, not only is it just the name, Monica Lewinsky herself was a Levite. She's a child of the Levites and is actually involved in that. She, you know, as Ahab desecrated the law of Levites, well, Monica Lewinsky was desecrated as well in there. So even that. And now, when is the scandal exposed? Well, in the paradigm, the scandal is exposed in the 19th year of Ahab's accession. When Ahab comes on the national stage, 19th year, the scandal is exposed. Well, Clinton, okay, what happens if we go to Clinton now? 1979, he comes on the national stage. Add 19 years, and it brings you to the year 1998. What is 1998? 1998 is the year the scandal is exposed. And in fact, he was sworn in January 1998. So that in January 1979, pinpoints January 1998. January 1998 is the exact month that the scandal breaks forth, according to the paradigm. And it even goes further, because what happens is, when Elijah, he sees Ahab and he pronounces judgment, Ahab repents, I mean, at least for the time. I mean, he goes back, but he repents. And God says there, he's okay, because he repented, I'm not going to bring the calamity, I'm not going to bring the end of his reign. Now, I'm going to give, there's going to be some time. It's not all going to happen. It's going to be a delay, basically. And the Bible gives the time period. It says it's 3 years. 3 years. So from the moment that that happens, well, let's first go with from the moment that the scandal is exposed to the end of the king, or the end of his reign, is 3 years. Well, We know when the Clinton years ended. They ended on January 20th, 2001, with the inauguration. That was it. That was the last day. We know it. January 20th, 2001. So what happens if you go back the 3 years of the paradigm, or the 3 years of Ahab, and go back? Will it lead you to a scandal? If you go back, it leads you to January 20th, 1998. January 20th, 1998 is the exact day that the scandal of the Clinton years breaks forth, as according to the paradigm, down to the day. And if you, in other words, you take it the other way, that once, just with Ahab, as once the scandal is exposed, the king has 3 years left. Well, once the scandal is exposed, January 20th, he has exactly 3 years left to the exact day. But it's going to get even, if you can imagine, even more specific and more ominous, because here's the other side of it. I mentioned that the king, it wasn't just that it was exposed, he repented. Well, when it happened with Ahab, you know, it probably happened the same moment. He repents probably right after Elijah convicted him. But did Clinton ever repent? Well, the answer is yes. Not at first, he denied the whole thing, you know, for months. And then finally he had to confess it before a jury, so he confessed it, but he was still angry. No repentance. Until one particular day. Well, the paradigm says when you take from the day of the king's repentance, add 3 years, you're going to also have a calamity on the nation. And so here's the thing. If we can find the day that Clinton repented, and we add 3 years, what will happen? Where will this take us? And this is like, if we knew the paradigm beforehand, this is where it gets gigantic. That you could have marked this on a calendar when nobody on earth knew it. And here's the thing: the day that he repented was at a White House prayer gathering, and be with ministers, and he said, "This is my repentance. I've sinned against man and God, and this is," and he did. And so take that day. Add 3 years to it. Where does it take you? It brings you to this date. It brings you to September 11th, 2001, to the exact day, the day of the calamity, the day, as the paradigm says, from the day of the king's repentance to 3 years later will bring you to the day of the calamity on the nation. And not only that, when did he repent? Well, he repented in the morning of the morning of that. So that means take it 3 years. It takes you to the morning of September 11th, the time of the calamity. And we know when the White House event began, the hour was 8:30 is when it began. You take it 3 years later to the hour, 8:30 is the hour that began 9/11. And when the repentance happened, it was between 9 and 10 o'clock, which is, that's 3 years later, that is the peak hour of all of the events of 9/11. When did the event end? It ended at 10:30. Now, when was the last, could that possibly contain the whole thing of 9/11? When was the last event of 9/11? It was the fall of the North Tower. When did it take place? It took place at 10:29. And then 1 minute later was the three-year mystery was up. And so, I mean, this is like mind-boggling. And yet, here's where, if we had known it, if we had simply known the paradigm, and we'd seen those events, you could have taken out your calendar, and before the CIA knew it, before the FBI knew it, before the defense industry knew it, before Al-Qaeda knew it, you could have charted the exact day. And that tells you, here's another convergence between the paradigm and the harbinger, because the harbinger, when 9/11 kicks in, that's when the harbingers start, you know. So this all, and yet it's all there. I mean, it's the past, present, and future. It's all there, and that tells you how amazing God is, you know, and that everything is in his hands. He is on the throne.
What I found amazing, which you described with respect to, going back to Monica Lewinsky, the Lewinsky scandal, for example, that's on page 83 of the book, folks, by the way, in detail. But I was amazed, and I have to tell you, I was digging around. I'm working on a research project, working on a timeline on some aspects of the Clintons. I have to say this. I wasn't planning on saying this, but when I received your book, I was around that time period, around the 98, 99, 2000, 2001
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got this, I immediately began reading it, and I was amazed at how this fit in with my research. And I have to say that it shows the majesty, the marvelous nature of our God, I believe. And there's no way you could make this up. I mean, from my investigative point of view, this is verification. And the way, and I guess just say one last thing, just the way you lay this out, the way I don't know how you do, I really don't know how you do it, but the way you have laid this out is beyond anything I've ever seen before. It's, folks, the book is called The Paradigm, and if you go to theparadigmmystery.com or Amazon, you've got to grab a hold of this book. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is our guest. Go ahead, sir, continue. This is just so fascinating. I don't want to interrupt anymore.
No, please do. And the other thing is that, yeah, you brought up a number of things. One is very important, people may find, you said you were led to do research on this, and there's a reason for that. I mean, and even, you know, we were talking before that you know, there are things that people have sensed, or they've sensed this part or that or that, and you know, and people not necessarily knowing that this is all connected. It's not just a sense. You're onto something, and the fact that, and they say, well, yeah, I always had a feeling that there was something there, and the fact that even there's no coincidence. The fact that you were led to be working on that very thing at that very time. I mean, there's no accidents as well, and God is also even in what we're doing, and you know, even in that, and that also brought up, you know, that it came to me. So, well, how, you know, it very much like the Harbinger came. The Harbinger came to me in, you know, in a almost like a flood, and it came in, you know, within a month to 2 month period, and so did the Paradigm. And I was going to do a different book, you know, and I mean, I was thinking, okay, my next book will be this book, and I told the publishers that, I mean, I'm thinking about doing this book, and then all of a sudden it just came, you know, in January and February, it all just downloaded. And what I just shared with you, you know, about the Paradigm, it's the, you know, there's it's called the one of the chapters called The Day, where it all leads up to the exact day, not, and more than the day, it leads up to the minute. But I didn't even know about that. I mean, you know, when I already, that came at the end, just like with the Harbinger, some things came at the end. I had no idea of that at all. I mean, I was seeing all the rest, but I didn't know that. And nor you know, all these things I just gave you about how it goes to, several things go to these exact days. I didn't know that actually came to me in my bed. You know, I was just in my bed, and all of a sudden, my wife was asleep, and it just came to me, and I didn't know that it was, and that's how it happened with the Harbinger. I didn't know that it was the case. I didn't know if it was verified. I had no idea. It just said, the thing came to me, okay, you have to search this now because you know, you're going to, you know, go. And so when I got out of bed, I went down the hall, went into the bathroom and took out my laptop computer, so not to interrupt anybody, just to look at that computer in the light of the there, and I started typing, and I said, I could not believe, and what was in my head, what just came to me in my bed, it was all there. That's where I saw all the dates, but I didn't know that, and that I didn't know that initially. That was like at the end, and so it was the same way with the Harbinger. It's like the Lord leads us, and we just have to be open, you know. And there may be people who will find many more things than you know. I mean, you know, they will, once you know, having the framework of the paradigm. Who knows what also is there, you know? And so it's all the Lord, and as you said, nobody could have put it together, and nobody could have figured, and again, I had no idea, you know, but it's there, and you can, and all these things, you know, when I first wrote The Harbinger, and the first one to read it was the lawyer, who was not a believer, you know, doing the contract, it was a Jewish lawyer, and she said, you know, I was going over this manuscript, I couldn't believe what was in there, so I went to the internet, and I started investigating it, and it was all there, you know, so I said, that's good, I hope everybody does that. Not only with the Harbinger, with the Paradigm, you'll see it for yourself. I mean, between the Bible and what is happening to this day.
Amen. Exactly. And I don't want to get ahead of myself or ahead of you. We've got about, what is it? Well, we've got enough time. We've got about 10 minutes or
14 minutes.
14 minutes.
Okay.
I can't even read the clock before the top of the hour break. I'm so engrossed in this. Go ahead and continue.
Sure.
And lay this out for us. This is so fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, what happens is the next part is a chapter called The Shadow Queen. And what happens next is, in the paradigm, is the king's reign, you know, it ends, as we've just seen it. Ahab's reign comes to an end. And now most people, when they hear about Ahab and Jezebel, they think, okay, you know, Ahab ended and then Jezebel ended. That's what they think. But that's not what happened. What happened is Ahab, and actually this is one of the first triggers that you know, where I said, wait a minute. And how long did this all happen? Ahab ended, his reign ends, but Jezebel goes on the national stage. And what happens is she goes on and she just continues to dwell in the halls of power. She continues to dwell in the capital city. She's no longer the queen. She's the former queen or the former first lady. But she's now influencing government kind of from behind the throne, not on the throne anymore, but she is kind of behind it or around it. She's advocating still. As far as we know of Jezebel, she never turned away from her views on child sacrifice and all that. Well, so what happens with Hillary Clinton? Well, just as Ahab's reign comes to an end, so Bill Clinton's reign comes to an end, but for the first time in American history, the former first lady goes on, just as Jezebel, because she's following that paradigm, she goes on, and she goes on the political stage. She's not the queen anymore. She's not the first lady of the land anymore, but she's now, as Jezebel was dwelling in the halls of power, so among that, on the political stage and still influencing the government, so Hillary Clinton continues on, dwells in the halls of power, becomes senator, so she's dwelling in the halls of power. Now, of course, Jezebel didn't have to get elected, but in America, that's what you have to do in order to fulfill the paradigm. So she does, and again, totally, you know, championing abortion and all things, and she dwells, as Jezebel dwelt in the capital city, so Clinton, Hillary Clinton, dwells in the capital city, influencing the government, not with the same power, but with a power to influence. Now, Hillary Clinton in 2008 will attempt to win the presidency for herself. Now, on the paradigm, Jezebel doesn't win the throne in the time of the paradigm, and so it will not go to her. It will, according to the paradigm, the throne will go to a younger man, and that's going to introduce the next mystery or character in the book or the chapter. He's called the Heir, and his name is King Joram. He's Joram or Jehoram, and he's the king. He's the king, and he's called the Heir because he's the heir of Ahab. He follows in the policies of Ahab. He follows in the policies that have been before. He's the political heir, and he what he does is what Ahab started. He in many ways continues, and he's a different personality. While Ahab was kind of all over the place, he was hot and cold, and one day he repents, the next day he persecutes Elijah. But Joram, and so Bill Clinton was all over the place. That was his personality. But so Joram is going to be the mystery of Barack Obama. Barack Obama is going to follow the paradigm of Joram. And so what does that mean? Well, first of all, he's going to be a political heir. He's going to follow the policies that Clinton began. He's going to continue everything from Hillary Care. It's going to become Obamacare. The policy on abortion, he's going to follow it, take it even farther. Policy on gay marriage or the whole issue, he's going to follow it and bring it forward. Everything. He's the heir. And so he's going to follow that thing. But also, even the personality is in the paradigm because the personality of Joram, unlike Ahab, he's a cooler personality. When I say cooler, I don't mean, hey, that's great. I mean he's not as expressive. He is hostile to God. And his reign is linked to hostility to God and to man. I mean, God and to believers and to the ways of God. And so Barack Obama will have that different personality. His reign will be linked, his policies will be linked to hostility to God, hostility to the Bible, hostility to people of faith. He begins by saying those who cling to their guns guns and religion. You know, he'll talk about he's the one first president in American history to say that, you know, we are no longer a Christian nation. You know, and again, he does it again and again. He edits God out of his out of the Declaration of Independence. He edits continuously, and he continuously goes against religious freedom. I mean, he will reject bills, defense bills, because it has a protection of religious freedom. But it's continuous hostility against God. But not only that, when you look at this, you know, Joram wasn't on the throne alone. Joram was on the throne. While he was on the throne, the former first lady, or in the palace, was in the palace with him. Jezebel was with Joram in the palace. What does that mean? Therefore, in the paradigm, Barack Obama, when he enters the White House, he won't do it alone. He will do it with the former first lady. Or you've got, and that, by the way, that has never happened in American history, but it's right there in the paradigm. The paradigm is saying it's going to happen. You have the king, a younger man, and an older woman, and they will be together. The former first lady from another administration is going to be actually in the White House, in the cabinet of another. Well, that's exactly fulfilling where Jezebel was at, because and she becomes like a counselor to the king. So that's exactly what happens. Now, what about there's a chapter called The Days of the Heir. What about what happens if we do this? We take the same criteria that we did with Bill Clinton and we bring it to Barack Obama. So how long was Barack Obama on the national stage? Well, when did it happen? Well, there's no debate about it. It was as clear cut as it could be. Nobody knew about him. Nobody knew him outside of Chicago, and even many people in Chicago didn't know him up until the year 2004. 2004 is when he was asked to give the keynote speech at the Democratic Convention. That one moment changes everything. He's known across the country. He is called the possible presidential contender. Everything changes. So 2000, and it's in the summer of 2004, and then a few months later he gets elected to his first national office. He's a senator, and then in January 2005 he is sworn in. So when does his time in presidency, when does it end? Or, well, what's his last year? His last year as president is 2016. 2004 to 2016 ends up with 12 years. 12 years. Obama has 12 years given on the national stage. 12 years. In fact, when he spoke, now this is as recent as this, as maybe a few months before I wrote The Paradigm, when he appeared at the Democratic Convention this past summer, and he, I mean, in the summer of the convention, and he said, the first words he said of his speech were, 12 years ago tonight, I stood before you. 12 years is the first word. Because the day that he stood on the stage was exactly 12 years to the day of the event that changed his life. So exact 12 years. So now, we got 12 years of Obama. So what happens now if we go back to his ancient prototype? Now, this is now Joram, the one who followed in the footsteps of Ahab. So what happens if we go there and we go to the book of 2 Kings, and it's 2 Kings 3, verse 1, reads thus. Joram, son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria. His time in the period of years was 12 years. 12 years for Barack Obama. According to the paradigm of Joram, the 12 years of King Joram. Exactly as the 22 years of Clinton conform to the 22 years of Ahab, are determined by them, you could say. The 12 years of Barack Obama, they conform to the 12 years of his prototype, Joram. And, I mean, exactly, and you'll see that each one of these key leaders, they're going to conform to the exact paradigm of their prototype.
This is so amazing, and I hope everyone is on the edge of their seats, because you should be. We're talking with Jonathan Cahn, author of The Paradigm, of course, author of The Harbinger, Mysteries of the Shemitah, and others. Of course, such a popular guest, and we are so fortunate to have him talking about The Paradigm and the level of specificity that he is. This is such an engaging book that the 12 years, and you, I have an admission. You had me going back and forth and researching a lot of what you're saying just to make sure, because I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, we're not forcing puzzle pieces in here. They're falling into place. Now it's amazing. So we got about 2 minutes before the break. By the way, are you good to go the next hour with us? The next segment?
Yeah,
are you okay with that?
I'm going good. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So, given the fact that we got about 2 minutes left here before the top of the hour, go ahead and continue, and then
where we're going to get in the next hour, everything is going to come to a head. It's going to come, the paradigm is going to come to this war of thrones that's going to happen. And it's going to introduce a new character or a new paradigm. And that is going to be, so much happened in the last, year, 2 years, everybody was puzzled what's going on, what's happening, and believers, what's happening in the world, what's happening. I mean, to this day, we entered such a, we call a crazy period, a period of chaos, and everybody's saying, what's going on, and the paradigm is going to reveal it, and it's going to reveal, as we have revealed the mystery of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, it's going now, we're going to see in the next part, we're going to see the mystery of Donald Trump, and for real, and much, much, much more. I mean, even, we'll see the mystery of Osama bin Laden is in here, too, and, there's something called, something that happened across the world, the mystery of the temple, that something in the Middle East that links up with a harbinger, and we'll even get into, touching on the future, what does it speak of the future, and are we actually, the one listening right now to the radio, are they actually in the paradigm, and much more.
Man, this is fantastic. Again, our guest, Jonathan Cahn, New York Times bestseller, and I'm sure everyone knows him, of course, speaking before Congress, author of The Harbinger, Mystery of the Shemitah, and The Book of Mysteries, Now the Paradigm, which is an incredible look at this template, this overlay of past into the current events and touching into the perhaps the future. And to me, this brought, and I have to say this, I'm blessed because I feel blessed as this brought the many of the scriptures used alive to present day events. I don't think any other book has done that to the extent Jonathan Cahn's book has. Visit hopeoftheworld.org. That's the ministry website for Jonathan Cahn. Theparadigmmystery.com, of course, is where you can watch the trailer, and also Amazon to buy the book. And with that, network break, 3 minutes. Going to be right back. Jonathan Cahn, we're so blessed to have him. Stay right where you're at, folks.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.